we're dealing with one of my favorite verses in Ephesians. Wives, submit to your husbands. Okay, that's all I need to say about that. How to win friends and influence people, right there. And the guys are going, thank you very much, Roger. I want to talk about what is marriage. What is marriage? In the scriptures, it does give some specific instructions, enlightenment of what the nature of marriage is, what marriage is. Because there are a lot of ideas in our society about what marriage is. Some feel that it's something that man has developed over the years. As man has evolved, as a creature who had no social order, over a period of time, man has discovered that the family unit, the husband and wife, is a good arrangement. It brings stability and civility to society, and it's grown and been evolving over years to where we find that marriage is one of the best things for society, for us as a culture, to have marriage. And man has discovered this and has developed this. Bunk. That's all I got to say to that. It's not man's idea. It seems as though man has decided that they can be creative in these things, develop their own models of what it is or isn't. In fact, in some societies, if a man is able to do financially, he can have more than one wife. And that's perfectly okay. So is that good? Well, it's against law here. But who says that's not okay? Where do they get their authority? When society gets to a place where they think that's a good thing, they may pass some kind of agenda or referendum and have everybody vote, and then that becomes okay. There's also the idea that marriage is about just physical attraction. It's about that spark. It's about that, whoo, takes my breath away kind of aspect. That's what marriage is all about, because you realize you have found this person who's just the most wonderful person in the world, and we're in love, and we're going to get married. And so you get married. And it's all about that magic that happens between a man and a woman. And we see it in almost every film. And that's the idea. That's how marriage is looked at, of course, until the magic goes. And then there is no marriage anymore. You have to find a spark with somebody else. And some even are cynical enough to think that, this stuff can only last about 7 years. Maybe 10, and then you've got to get a new one. It's just the way it is. You know? I don't think that's what marriage is about. But people get confused because that's what they've been picking up from everywhere around them. That's the idea that they had, or maybe that's what they learned from their own family or from other sources. It is two equals in every respect coming together is more of a modern perspective on marriage now, to where the woman and the man are equals, and they come together, and they partner. And the husband is not is in every way the same as the wife. The wife is equal to the man. In other words, there's a idea that men and women are not that different. A woman can be and do just everything that a man can do. There isn't really a difference until I think in our society it's come to a place where a lot of women feel men are not needed, actually. In fact, sometimes you go, well, you know what? I got married, but, you know, I really don't need him. I can do everything myself. And it's more of a feminist type of idea that because they've been abused or treated wrongly, that the reaction to that is to recognize that we are as equal to men, and therefore we should have and try to be everything that a man is, we can be. The problem is that really is just saying that you feel like you're inferior. That you have to try to be like a man so that you feel like, so that you can say that you are equal. You are equal if you're a woman to a man. You're just different as far as the Bible is concerned. We aren't the same. We are different. And that causes some women to have just a reaction that's kind of, oh, wait a second, hold on. Are you saying I'm not important, not valuable? No, it has nothing to do with that. It's just ridiculous to think that a woman is the same as a man. And we'll look at that issue a little bit further here. The real question is, in what is marriage, is what does God say about marriage? Because the Bible reveals that God created marriage. He's the one who instituted marriage. He's the one that gave the institution of marriage to society because he loves man. It's a gift. It's a demonstration of his love and grace to us, marriage is. It's part of his plan for men and women. It's not something that is somehow developed. It's not open to a lot of modifications and changes as time goes on. It's not evolutionary. It's something that is set and that is integrated into the way you are. Marriage is about the way God made you. And when we look at the Bible and discover what marriage really is, it's very clear that God understands his creation, that he knows you better than you know yourself, that as we start to follow and as we understand more of what this marriage relationship is about, the more we understand who we are and what God made us to be. Okay, get any amens on that? Okay. Very quiet here this morning. Okay. So now as we look at these verses, let's just read a few here. It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now that's the context. Okay, that's where we're coming from. Submission is not a subject that's exclusive to women. Submission's about the Christian life. We are to be submitted. In many areas, we're to be submitted to the Lord himself. We're to be submitted to the government and its authority. We're to be submitted to one another. We're to be submitted to our husbands. All these things have to do with the concept of submission. And it doesn't degrade a person. It doesn't make a person less. But it is very important for us to understand what that is. Now, submission starts with Christ. You notice the verse that says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. The Lord is dropped right in there. And it informs what this submission's about. And he goes on to verse 23. He says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. So we're going to unpack that and try to understand what that means here. First of all, we need to realize that the submission has to do with the Lord. He's the one that put this down. And women, when we look at submission, we have to have the Lord included in that submission, because we do it as unto the Lord, is what it says. Now, some people have misunderstood this as, why submit to your husbands as to the Lord, meaning that you treat him like God. No, that goes a little too far.
Amen.
It goes a little too far. Can I get an amen on that one? All right, they're with me. Okay, there we go. So, when we talk about submission, we're talking about we do it because of the Lord. He asks us to submit. So our submission to our husbands, our submissions to government, submission to one another, is about submitting really to the Lord. It's all about Him. So as I look at what Christ has asking me to do, I have to recognize that I have to look at the Lord first, and I have to realize what my relationship with Him is about first in order for me to be able to submit. Because sometimes submission goes against what I want. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So, it's about how do you feel about the Lord? What is your relationship to the Lord about? See, when I recognize that He's the one that left heaven and gave up everything for me, and He wanted me to be a part of His life forever, so He, because He believed that I was worth it, He came and He sacrificed, He paid the ultimate price, He gave everything that He had so that I might be His. Now, ladies, that's what you have to look at. Jesus gave everything so that you could be His. And He wants you in His life. And He wanted to not only have you in His life, but He wanted to make and see you transformed into something without any flaw. He wants you to be beautiful beyond belief. And He's doing everything so that He might remove everything that would be a hindrance to that, so that when you stand before God, you're a beautiful, perfected, glorious bride, and you are all that you were created to be and more. That's His purpose, and He wants to love you forever and let you know and experience that love forever. Now, if that doesn't move you, then you probably will have a hard time with submitting. It's about, Lord, You love me so much, I'll do this because I love You. Now, it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the husband. Because sometimes people think, well, I'm going to submit to my husband because I respect him. Good, that's a good thing. But sometimes you may not respect him. Then what do? Oh, we got a problem. The Bible does not say, submit to your husbands if you respect them. That's not there. Now, our submission to Jesus will determine why you submit to your husband. Because the Lord asks us to do this. Ladies, He asks you to submit to your husband. So this is an expression of your love for him, of your it's a way to express honoring him and showing that you are devoted to him. It is a part of your Christian behavior. It is a part of your discipleship. We know that the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that we are to do everything, whether it be eating or drinking, to the glory of God, to honor Him. And this is a part of that. you are honoring him by your submission to your husband. So if you want to please the Lord, this is pleasing to him. If you want to know what the Lord's will is, this is one of the things that is the Lord's will. Next, you will deepen your understanding of what it means to be a wife. This is a part of what it means to be a wife. Now, this whole word submission and to submit has a really negative connotation. The story is told about a man after reading a book called Man of the House. During his commute home from work, the enlightened husband stormed into the house to confront his wife. Pointing his finger in her face, he said, "From now on, I want you to know that I am the man of the house, and my word is law. Tonight, you are to prepare me a gourmet meal and a sumptuous dessert. Then when I'm done eating, you're going to draw me a bath so I can have a relaxing soak. And when I'm finished with my bath, guess who's going to dress me and comb my hair?" His wife responded, "My guess is the funeral director." Amen. Now, that is not what we're talking about. We're talking about submission, where the man is the dictator and just throws down the law. That's not leadership. That's not headship. That's dictatorship. And that's not what we're talking about when we talk about submission. Submission is not subjection or subjugation. Subjugation turns a person into a thing, and it destroys a person's individuality and removes all liberty. You realize that you have a role to play. You are responsible to God to fulfill and to follow this role that he has given you. You let go of all the other things that you might feel responsible for, because they aren't your responsibilities. You know your responsibilities, you know your role, and so you submit to God and you conform to his purpose for your life, and you start to discover what you are made to be and do. And it gives you freedom. It takes the stress out of your life and makes it so that you realize that submission is my strength. It is the first step toward true maturity and spirituality in my ministry that God has given me. See, there's a beautiful thing that takes place when we follow what God has designed. Because again, man and woman, we are not the same. And as we look at this deeper, we'll find that knowing and relishing the differences is a wonderful thing. Another thing about submission is that in our submission to Jesus, it will determine how hard it is to submit to your husband. If you focus on submission to the Lord and submitting to him, then it's all about your love for the Lord. And you'll do it because it's the Lord that you're doing it for. You're not doing it because he deserves it. You do it because the Lord deserves it, not the man. So when I submit to authority in my life, I do it as unto the Lord. In our society, we have a real problem with submitting to authority. Every time we find that it's to question authority and to resist authority, except if it's your authority. That brings chaos. It's not a good thing. Now, the Lord doesn't require submission, and I'm going to give you five things that off top here that, and I'm sure there's others, but these are the ones that came to me in my study. Things that you are not to submit to your husband in. Number one, when your husband wants you to violate your conscience. When it happens to be the matter of your conscience, you don't violate that. And you don't submit to your husband in that area. I'm not talking about opinion, I'm talking about your conscience. When your husband wants you to do something that is sinful, lie on some form or misrepresent something or, you know, different things that you know are wrong, then you're not to do that because, see, you're under the authority of Christ. And Christ has delegated his authority to the husband in the home. If the husband takes and violates the authority over him, then he loses his authority. And you're not to follow his direction in that, because it's something that would be, you wouldn't be submitting to the Lord then. And that's something you cannot not do. You have to submit to the Lord. When what your husband wants interferes with your relationship with the Lord, that's another thing that you're not to submit to him in that. If it interferes with your relationship with the Lord, then that is something that you can't do. If he wants you to forsake the Lord and to renounce the things of God, you can't do it. Fourth, when your husband becomes a danger to your life, that's a time you don't submit to him. We see that in our society all the time. A woman is in a situation where the husband wants her to submit, and if only she submitted, he wouldn't get so angry. And he wouldn't beat her. It's all her fault. Well, I'm sorry, that is not legitimate. He is sinning. And you do not submit to that. Five, when your husband has broken the marriage relationship through being unfaithful to the marriage, he has committed adultery, then you're not required to submit to him. He's broken that arrangement, broken that marriage. And you're not obligated to submit to him. Now, God can restore a relationship that has experienced that tragedy. But submission is not all-inclusive. There are exceptions. Now, let's look at the original design, because in the scripture, you notice that he talks about here the headship. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head. This word, the head, it's referring back to, and it's where Paul has received this information is from the original, which is in the book of Genesis. In fact, this whole thing breaks down. He gives two reasons why we need to follow these instructions. One is that because it's a part of the original design, the original template and creation that God has made. And number two, it's all about how the church works. We learn from the church and its relationship with Jesus of how this is to be operating. So these two things he refers to show us why this is legitimate and why this should be. So we're going to look at the model of creation and why this informs us about marriage and submission. And I was going to do both of those headings, looking at the church and looking at God's original design, but I may not get there. So I'm just going to look primarily at God's original design, and then we'll cover the other next week. So, first of all, we realize that man was not complete alone. When you look in the book of Genesis, you see how God created man out of the dust of the earth. He put him together, breathed life into this body, and it became a living soul. It was his creation. And God created man and put him in charge of the creation. He was God's representative, and he was to be the steward of the earth, the animals of creation. He was to be the Lord of creation. But there's a couple things that it's implied in this, is that he wasn't up for the job. He wasn't quite able to do that job because he wasn't complete. Notice in Genesis 2:18, if you have your Bibles, you can read there. I'm just going to read from the Amplified Bible. Give some other things added to it. It says here, "Now the Lord God said, it is not good, sufficient, satisfactory, that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper meet," which means suitable, adapted, complementary to, "for him." Okay? So, Adam was given the lead in creation. He was the head. And he was given the responsibility of ruling over creation. In fact, he named the animals. God said, every animal that he names, that's the name it will be. He gave him that authority to do that. And he gave him authority to be the ruler of creation. But he could not do it alone, because he wasn't complete. He wouldn't be able to fulfill that responsibility without a helpmeet, as it puts in the Bible. Now, helpmeet means that which completes what is lacking. Now, have you noticed, now I just find this fascinating, actually, how when a man and a woman get together, how the things that he is strong in, she's not. The things that he is weak in, she's strong in. It's really fascinating to me how there's an attraction that happens, and that attraction, there's some parts of you that you don't have that they have. Now, that is kind of like something where it fits, and then it becomes the whole, because the two parts together make up for what is lacking in the other. And that was God's purpose. He did that on purpose. Now, he could have done it like this, that where he was going to create man, and he says, you know what, I'm going to create him complete. He won't need anything. He'll be a whole. Because when you're incomplete, you're not whole. That's why some men, we feel like there's something missing in our life. And women, you feel there's something missing in your life, and you're drawn to someone. God could have, you know, it talks in the Bible that the women, that Eve was to give birth to children. Can you imagine that if you were men, if you were able to have children by yourself? It's funny, in the Muslim faith, there's a group of a sect of the Muslim faith called the Druze. And from remember, they're located in Lebanon mostly. But the Druze, they have a special outfit that they wear. And they have a big pouch in the front. And it was created there for a purpose, because they believe that one day the Messiah or their deliverer will come, and it'll come from a man. And so they have this pouch to catch the baby. Okay, well, that was interesting. But we weren't created that way. We are different. Men are different. And we weren't made whole. Neither were women. We were made to come together. So that when you look at the Bible, it says, and the two became partners. No, it doesn't say that. The two became a team. No, it doesn't say that either. It's something even more profound than that. It says, the two became one. There's an implication here of whole. The two became whole because they completed each other. Now, if the woman doesn't realize that she has a part here where, that will complete the man, instead she sees herself as equal and to be able to compete with the man, and she works in her life to try to be equal and different just like him, guess what? It doesn't fit. And she misses out on what she is to be and the fulfillment that comes when she becomes the complement. Now, when you say complement, something that complements something, there's implied submission in that term. When you make a meal, you have something that, here's the main part of the meal, and here's something that complements. Right? Did I get that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So the wife is the complement. She's the one that makes it just right. Makes it whole. So Adam was not whole. And God said, that's not good. So he designed and created woman from the man so that they might need each other and be together and whole. In 1 Corinthians 11:3, the Bible says this, "Now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ. And the head of the woman is man. And the head of Christ is God." Now, that's what the Bible says. Now, what can we learn from that verse? Well, we can learn a lot of things, but here's one thing I wanted to point out. Ladies, when you think about the fact that the Bible teaches that the man is the head of the woman, look down at the bottom of the verse and say, the head of Christ is God. He submit himself to the headship of God. He surrendered his rights. He submitted himself. It's not that Jesus is less than God. That's blasphemy. He's in every way equal and as valuable and as important. He's God of God. He's everything that God is. And yet, he submits himself to the Father. He's the one that surrendered his rights so that he could come to the earth and become a man. It was God's plan that God would be able to reconcile mankind to himself. That man who had sinned and had this estrangement from God that could not be breached by man, God said, I'm going to do it. And Jesus said, send me. And he surrendered his rights and his prerogatives as God and submitted himself to become a man and to suffer and eventually to die for the sins of mankind. So that when he lived here on earth, he submitted himself to the Father. Now, you'll notice, as you studied this, ladies, about Jesus, there was none of this, oh, shoot, I got to do this. You want me to talk to those? Oh, I talked to them last week. Oh. None of that. It was his joy to submit. He was fully filled with, I want to please my Father. This is, I want to show him I love him. And part of the way he did it was submitted himself to the Father's plan and the Father's love. See, submission here in this situation is that the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. And their submission and their headship are motivated and informed by love. It's not informed by superiority. It's not informed by better than. It's a mutual love. Am I making any sense here? So there's no hint of that other part, which is all sinful. Obviously, God cannot sin, so that can't be involved in that. So when we think about submission, we look at the original design, and God made it so that the man was the head of the woman. He has the leadership role. He is to be the leader. In our society, we have two pendulum swings here. One is that the man is going to be the dictator. He's commanding, he's demanding. And that is the one kind of leadership. And then you have the other where he doesn't care. He's lazy about it, and you couldn't get him to lead if you poked him with a stick. He's passive. So you got these two. Both of them are bad. It's not what the Bible describes as the leadership and the relationship between a husband and a wife is to be. Because the way, we'll talk about this in a couple weeks, the way the man submits to God is that he leads his wife. And his leadership is for the benefit of his wife. So it's a way for him really actually to submit to his wife. He puts his needs, his concerns, his desires aside, so that he might perform the role for which he is to lead. And we'll get into that more, guys. And I won't tell you when, because you might not show up. But anyhow. Amen. So the wife is to complete the husband. She is not independent from him. And the man is not independent from the woman. 1 Corinthians again 11:11 says this, "But among the Lord's people, women are not independent of the men, and men are not independent of women, but among the Lord's people." Now let me back up a little bit and say this. The things that we're studying this morning are for Christians. When we talk about marriage, we're talking about a Christian marriage. This uniquely Christian. You get this idea, you get this teaching, this way of living from the Christian perspective. This is the scriptures speaking to us about marriage as a Christian. So that when we say about the people of the Lord, this should be common among the people of the Lord. This is how we order our affairs. This is how we conduct ourselves. This is how men and women relate to each other in the marriage. So it's a witness to the world how a family, how a marriage is to work. Because we are looking to our Creator. And He has informed us of how we're to live. Because He created us to live this way. And people will see the beauty of it as we submit ourselves to God and to, in the process of being changed and growing and maturing to where this beauty of mutual submission is displayed for other people. And they'll realize there's a sense of, and I have to say this, there's a sense of mystery about it. There's a sense of God about it. That you just can't quite calculate and put it in a box. It's a mystery between a man and a woman that God works. And people will see that and go, wow. They're curious about this marriage thing. Because where they came from, it was two camps that were at war at one time, and now they've called a truce. And they decided just to get along. And you find that there are certain things that they, oh, those are the areas I don't go to. Walk on eggshells, walk on eggshells. Up, oh, this is another area I don't touch. So, you know, there's just kind of big gaps. There's this ugly thing in the home. Then you come to a home where the Lord is the Lord of that home. And you have something beautiful. Okay, let's get back to where I was saying. So the wife is different from the husband. The wife isn't the same as the husband. They are different. They have different roles. Men aren't able to do things that the wife is able to do. The wife is not able to do the things that the man is able to do or should do. There's things that are just different about us. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Here he's talking about the fact that the husband has to recognize that he's not superior to his wife. He is to respect her. He is to honor her. Now, in some cultures, that is just thrown out the window because the man is stronger. And he just intimidates and has more power and has more authority and has more connections, etc. And he keeps her that way. And he dominates. And if she even looks wrong, whack. And she has no rights. She's just a thing. That is sinful. And the Bible says, husbands, you need to give honor to your wife. Treat them with honor. Now, you know what honor is, don't you? Someone did an illustration some time back about honor. And you don't treat it as common. It's something you treat as special when you honor something. For instance, here's the illustration. They had this violin, an old violin. And they just had people look at it and pick the strings and, you know, squeak, 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 you know. And they're passing around. And as they're passing around, you saw people going, this is, oh, yeah, well, I don't know anything about, well, I don't know anything about violins. I guess it looks, oh, it's kind of nice. It looks old. Yeah, real old. And then they said, that's a Stradivarius. It's worth about $5 million. Whoa. Oh, wow, here, you take it. They treated it different. They saw it as, whoa, this is a valuable thing and I don't want to mistreat it. See, that's honor. Go, wow. My wife, wow. She's amazing. God has given me this woman. Whew. I need to honor her. I need to show her that she's special. Now, I didn't always know that. And it didn't always come into my thinking. And that was sinful. But that's what we're to do as husbands. We're to honor our wives. Treat your wife with understanding. Now, what does this mean? This could be, you need to have God's help on this one. Okay? Now, some of you guys, this word is, you don't even know what it means. Treat your wives with understanding. You just go, oh, I'm depressed. You need to get to know the uniqueness of your wife and understanding. So you treat her in the right way. You don't treat her like a guy. That's feeding her with understanding. You realize she is different. You don't go like, I'm going to rush to the door and get in before she does because I want to get to the TV before. What? As though you guys are the same. You treat them differently. Now you have to recognize certain aspects. Now notice that before it talks about the wife is the weaker. This is just the way it is. I mean, you'll find some exceptions. But women are, as a whole, weaker than men physically. That's why when you have the Olympics, you have men's events and women's events. You don't have them combined and women competing against men because they never would place anything. They're just not as big, strong, fast as men are. Men are physically stronger. That's all there is to it. Now, you might want to get, you can get the strongest woman and compete against the weakest man, and she could do pretty good. But I'm just talking about as a whole here. That's just a reality, okay? So there's certain things that affect a woman that you have to be aware of and treat her with that honor because that's a part of your leadership. That's part of who you are. Now, that is something that God wants you to come to understand so that when you act and do certain things, and you go, why is she upset? Ooh, well, I guess she's just having a bad day. Are you on your period? Okay? You don't do that. Amen. Let me just say that's a bad idea. Okay? But you might want to just think about, you know, what are the things that affect her? How do they affect her? What do I need to understand about how she thinks and what she, how she views things so that I can better serve her, so that I can better lead her? Because as we'll find out, if you're totally ignorant about that, you hurt yourself, men. You'll hurt yourself. Enough said. The man is the leader with the help of the wife. When we talk about the beginnings in creation, we find that the fall took place. And when it took place, it had consequences. But it didn't take away the relationship that a man and a wife are to have. It remained. The man is still to be the leader, and the wife is still to submit. These things still remain the same in spite of the fall. In fact, if you look at, write this down, Genesis 3:16, if you don't have that. Genesis 3:16, and I'll read the New International, it says this. God was speaking to the woman after the fall, after this sin came into the world. And he said to the woman, I will greatly increase your pains in childbirth. With pain, you will give birth to children, and your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Now, let's look at this for a second and just find out what this means. So, it kind of implies that giving birth to children would have been very painless. It would have been painless. You wouldn't need was that epidural? Yeah. You wouldn't need one. But with the fall, this curse, the consequences, there was pain in that. And that's a bad, you know, it's a negative thing that happened, okay? Now, here's another thing, is that your desire will be for your husband. What it means? What does that mean? Does it mean, oh, you're going to be more attracted to him than ever? No, it doesn't mean that. In fact, let's look at another version here. New Living Translation puts it this way. It says, then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband. That's what that means. But it says, but, contrast word, he will rule over you. You'll want to control him. Amen? But he will rule over you. Okay? That is not something that you want to do. It's a negative thing, it says. Just like childbirth, that's a negative thing. The pain of childbirth and desire to control your husband is not something that will work in your benefit. So we can get into the whole thing about how to control a man. And you can go to bookstores and find out how to do it. You can manipulate him. You can try to, lie to him and deceive him. You can try to, there's all kinds of things you could try to do to try to get the things the way you want it. That's going opposite of what God says. And it's just a life of frustration that you're going to find yourself having. Amen? And so it's not something that we should do, because this is not the way God made things. And there's a way to come together to where the husband and the wife are complementary, and the husband is able to lead because of his wife. He is more enabled because of his wife. The weaknesses that he has are supplemented and strengthened because of his wife. And he's more able to do what God wants him to do because of his wife. It's all because of his wife. I mean, you hear these kind of statements. Well, every great man has a great wife behind him, right? Well, that's very true. So this whole thing starts with what God designed, what God planned in the beginning. And as we start to understand that, we become more of who God made us to be. Now, we'll continue this in looking at the church and Christ in the church, because he does that here in this portion of Scripture where he talks about the fact that he goes here, Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. He gives that line there as another argument to support his statement, the reality here of the church. In other words, if you don't understand Christ's relationship to the church, you cannot understand marriage. You need to understand these things so you might understand what marriage is all about. Unless you understand Christ and the church, you won't understand marriage. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for the revelation of the truth. Lord, we thank you that you have given us these scriptures not to bring restrictions, not to cause our life to be miserable, but these are expressions of your love, and you want us to discover the beauty that you created and the wonder of the gift of marriage. Lord, we pray that you would, by your Spirit, help us to understand and help us, Lord, to follow you, to submit to you, to be empowered by you, to live this life that you have given us. We do it because of you, Lord, because of your love for us. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.